Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hello, I'm Aaron Norris, filling in for my father, Bruce Norris, while he's on vacation. But I get to interview somebody I've wanted to interview on the radio show for a long time, so it works out perfect. Josh Storkin is with us here today. Josh Storkin is founder and CEO of Bigger Pockets, arguably the largest forum and social media network dedicated to real estate investors in the nation and possibly internationally. It's a top destination for real estate-related content. Josh is a native New Yorker with a very interesting background in entrepreneurship and education. He's best known for his no BS approach to real estate education and an unapologetic anti-guru philosophy that has attracted over 180,000 subscribers. His site has garnered attention from major media outlets, and it's not unusual to see Bigger Pockets team's content picked up on sites like the National Association of Realtors, Huffington Post, and Motley Fool. And Josh lives in Denver with his wife and Julie and three beautiful girls. Welcome, Josh. I'm so glad to finally have you on the show.
Hey, Aaron. That was probably the greatest introduction I've ever had and might ever have going forward. So I'm going to just cherish that right now.
Well, luckily it's recorded and you can marinate on that as long as you want.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to be here, man. I'm honored.
Well, and I forgot how many years ago we met. It was like 3 or 4. You were pretty hardcore. You're a tough guy to meet, and you're very guarded, but I so respect and love what you've been able to create, so I can't wait to dig in today so people can hear more. So how about we start with how you even got in the real estate business, because you and I have both had a very interesting journey, but I think yours was a little more interesting.
Nah, come on. Let's talk about you, Aaron. This show really, you know, you thought you were here to interview me, but actually, Bruce and I set it up so that I can flip the wheel here and interview you.
Not going to work.
So, yeah, listen, how I got into real estate, I'd say about, it's been a while, about 2000 or so, 2001, I had gotten my real estate license in Southern California. I decided I wanted to be an agent, and quickly realized that I really didn't want to be an agent, didn't love what I was doing. There was nothing about it that excited me, and left that industry. I'll rewind a little bit and let you know, back in college, I got into websites and was doing web design and that kind of stuff. And I also had gotten kind of my first taste of real estate with my roommate senior year. We were just kind of sitting around thinking how silly it was that we were paying rent for this apartment in this building that had, I think it was 6 units, and we were postulating how we would go about buying it. And, we realized we didn't have the cash to do it, and we didn't know anything about, any kind of creative techniques or anything like that. So we decided, okay, well, this isn't going to happen, but it was cool to think about. Fast forward back to I'd say about 12 years ago, somewhere in there, 12, 14 years ago, my brother had reached out to me and said, hey, Josh, I'd gone and bought my first rental property. And he had told me about it, and I was really excited. And then he went and bought another one, and he's like, you got to get in on this action. It's fantastic. The money's coming in. It's not terrible. It's not as bad as they say it is. And why don't you give it a try? I had made some money up until this point and had some cash to invest. So I decided to buy some property. And
in Southern California?
It was in Missouri.
Missouri. Oh, okay.
In Missouri. Yeah, which was 2,000 miles away, which, frankly, if I hadn't bought this property 2,000 miles away, Bigger Pockets wouldn't exist, so it was probably a good thing that I did that. Mm. Yeah. So I bought the property. I figured, I'm a smart guy. I've got a degree from a good school. I know what I'm, I know the basics. I can figure out the math. I did the evaluation, said, okay, I can buy a property and make money on this. What I didn't count on was all the headaches and chaos that come with owning rental property. Mm. I knew nothing. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know what to do when bad things happened. And I had put all my faith 2,000 miles away on property management. Well, when the property management starts being the problem, and you don't really know how to handle it, you quickly find yourself in trouble. Mm. So as my story goes, basically, I did find myself in trouble because I had issues with property management, and one thing led to the next, and I got rid of them, got a new one, more problems. Ultimately, you know, just suffered a lot, suffered a lot, and made a lot of mistakes. You know, I made a lot of mistakes, and that was kind of the birth of Bigger Pockets. I'm sitting around thinking to myself, okay, well, I keep messing up. I keep finding myself in situations where I need assistance, and I don't know where to turn. And so I set out to find the answer to that problem. Well, there were a few answers. You know, the first answer was go to the bookstore, and I did, and I found a bunch of books, and they were pretty helpful, and you know, gave the basics on being a landlord, and I soaked it in, and yet I still had questions. Yeah. And so, you know, what's my next option? You know, I've gone through the books. They don't answer all the questions. Some are in depth, some aren't as in depth, but there's still things that you need to figure out. So I went online, and I realized that there were some places to go to get real estate information, but from my perspective, those places were tied into the gurus, the kind of the get rich quick guys, I'm a New Yorker, man. We don't do well with flim flam and fast talkers. You know, be real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Say what you mean what you say. Don't tell me you're going to give me something and only give it to me, you know, after I attend a boot camp and, you know, a free boot camp, which really was a lead into, you know, a $1,000 boot camp, which really is a lead into something else. And you don't really get the information until you've spent like $50,000 and have no money for real estate.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't going to buy a course from any of these guys. I didn't want to get information from a website that I felt like was kind of a lead-in to all that stuff. So I looked at the landscape and said, there's nothing for me. There's nowhere for me to go.
Because what year did you officially start?
So that's 9.5 years ago. That was, I think it was August of 04.
Wow. When did Facebook open?
After that.
Right. So, I mean, you were really pre... this was really cutting-edge stuff. I mean, forums and was there, but around, but, you know, at least online, real estate investor space was not very popular, so you're pretty groundbreaking.
It was not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, there were other platforms out there, but again, you know, from my perspective, it felt like their model was all about, you know, pitching you on you know, those folks, and so I felt like I wanted an independent resource, a place where there was, you know, there was no nothing to kind of, there was no pitch associated. You know, you got what you got. And so I really, you know, I built this thing to serve myself. You know, truly it was a selfish endeavor from the get-go. However, very, very quickly I realized that as other people came on board, not only was I getting help, but other people were also getting help.
How did you start getting people there even?
Oh, boy. Well, and by the way, when you say this is cutting edge, this was not that cutting edge. You know, I mean, we were using, you know, somebody else's software. It was, you know, it was pretty easy to set up a forum back then. I mean, Bigger Pockets was not you know, all that until later on when this really cool site, I think you've heard of it, called MySpace, came out. Yeah, that dates me, right?
Right.
So, like, MySpace...
You didn't say Friendster, though, so you're okay.
Yeah, that's true. So MySpace was, like, this inspiration to me. Holy cow, we can go beyond just the forums, and we can create these profiles and get people connecting, which is the really exciting part. But to your question, how I started to get people there, I literally would just go out in other communities that to me were ancillary. So you know, since we were real estate, I wasn't going to go to these other real estate sites and try and, you know, steal their people. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. So I said, well, I don't want to steal from anybody. I just want to, you know, if I go on maybe a finance forum and, you know, note that people aren't getting their real estate questions answered, and I go and I answer the real estate question, and I have a signature at the bottom of my post, maybe somebody will see that I provided value. They'll decide to check out my link. They'll come to the site. They'll see it's all about real estate, and maybe they'll decide to stay. And that worked. Wow. Little by little, people would drip in. And, you know, they started getting involved, and it, you know, it grew completely organically.
And all the way to 180,000 subscribers later. I mean, the site is beautiful, by the way. I downloaded the app last night for the first time and was playing with that, and now I'm getting updates. I'm like, oh, no.
It's addicting.
Well, and as a marketer, I'm already managing so many different outlets. It's overwhelming, at least for me. I know for the average person, probably not, but being on all the platforms can be difficult, and your team just does such a good job. When did you decide to start getting collaborators in writing articles for you? Because I think that's one of the coolest pieces of your site.
Sure. And I'm going to just jump on your other point before I get there on you know, being on all these platforms. I would say, and it's not, it is somewhat selfish, but I mean, I really do believe in this. Spending your effort on, you know, 15 different platforms, I think is probably a waste of time.
No, you're right.
I to anybody listening, I think it's important that you maybe start with one or two or three, probably two, and you know, focus your efforts and figure out how that platform works. Figure out, you know, if, since we're talking to real estate people, obviously you're going to want to be on a network where you're going to find those people. I obviously would say KinkerBockets is a good place to be, but, you know, maybe Twitter. You know, maybe you like talking, you know, spending time on Twitter, and you figure that out, or Facebook, or G+, or LinkedIn, whatever it is. But you know, if you're spending your energy on, you know, five different platforms, nobody's going to know who you are, because you're going to just be kind of a blip on the radar on these places. But if you focus your energy, focus your efforts, kind of like I did, right? I went to these finance sites, and I, you know, participated in the real estate section, and I really focused hard that, you know, on whatever forum it was, you know, I was going to be the guy who helped out with real estate. Mm-hmm. And then people on that site got to know me as the real estate guy.
I totally agree. And it's too much. Even Facebook, realtors out there, I'm so sorry. Realtors always seem to be 2 years to a platform, and then it sort of gets ruined because they get like happy. And I get so many like requests. It was Facebook about a year or two ago, and then the last year and a half has been LinkedIn. And I'm like, you guys are building useless networks. The like button doesn't mean anything. Nobody's paying attention. So you're right. You really have to decide which platforms. Twitter for real estate, I mainly use for news gatherings. So I follow all the news sources and get great articles because we run a blog. But you're right. For the average real estate investor who's at home, you really have to be selective in what you're investing in, because it's time. And time is money. And social media is just one of those time sucks.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, you guys use Twitter, you get all that information, and you put out, you know, your news brief, the video thing that you do, and it's absolutely outstanding. And anyone listening who doesn't follow it needs to, because you really do a great job.
Well, thanks.
To your question from earlier about bringing people on and the collaborators, it was about 9 years ago when I started the blog. I don't know how I had come across blogs. That Will Wheaton, who we all know from Wesley Crusher from Star Trek,
okay.
was was one of the first bloggers that, people really got to know. And so I'd come across this blog, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. I wonder if I could start doing that and share content that I find in real estate, whether it's the New York Times or somewhere else, interesting articles, and share my thoughts on it. So when I created the blog, it was literally, hey guys, just found this great article from the Times. Check it out. You know,
right.
It was the equivalent of a like on your Facebook wall. Hey, here's a share, right?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much to it. It wasn't very sophisticated. And at that time, there was a group of, you know, I'd say a few dozen at most other people in the real estate space who were also experimenting. We were all kind of figuring it out. And little by little, we kind of helped each other, and we became more sophisticated and you know, started to write actual content. And I got to a point where I realized that, you know, I knew enough, but I really knew enough about a small subset mm-hmm. of real estate investing. And if I wanted bigger pockets to grow, you know, at least readership on the blog, I wanted more content. I wanted information that I wasn't an expert in. And I'm not a guru. I'm not somebody who says, you know, I know everything about everything. I'm the exact opposite. And I said, you know, this isn't about me. This is going to be about, you know, collaborative involvement. This is going to be about democratizing information here. And so I set out to find people who can write about topics that I knew nothing about. And, you know, little by little, I built up from the first writer and you know, begged and, you know, eventually got somebody to come on board and got the next one and begged and, you know, the first bunch of writers was really me kind of begging, I think, folks to help me out. And
how many articles do you think are now in your database?
So on the blog, I wish I were actually sitting in front of my computer. I could tell you exactly, but it's 6,000 plus or minus on the Bigger Pockets blog. We're putting out about 3 to 4 new articles a day. We've got, I think, 33 to 35 writers writing for us every week right now.
That's incredible. And what's great is that you're really getting the experts. I have a few friends that write for the blog, and I go to them with questions. Amanda Hahn, Keystone CPA, she's incredible. I just love her. And she's writing for you. And I know it's a challenge for them, too, because you're hardcore. You're like, has to be original, or you want it once a week.
Nobody said I was easy. I am notoriously a difficult person. However, I think what people who know me realize is that, you know, there's a reason behind it all. And you know, I'm not mean. I'm not evil. I'm just kind of a pain in the butt.
No, but it's played into your culture of excellence that you've created for the site. And we've got roughly 6 minutes left in this segment, and I'd love to talk to that a little bit, because I'm sure you've been given a hard time by a lot of people who want to come on a market. You've even schooled me a few times, like, on the edge.
Yep.
I mean, and you have moderators on there that will boot people if they start spamming. So
yeah, we're tough.
Was it like that from the beginning, or was it that just a necessity because it was happening naturally? People would go and just start spamming your site.
It was like that from the beginning. I realized from day one that if we didn't establish the lines of what were okay, people were going to do whatever they wanted. And you know, I got to tell you, it's created a lot of problems. I mean, problems in that, I've pissed a lot of people off.
Well, of course.
And, you know, and I think if I'm pissing people off because they think they could come and you know, I don't know, you know, and throw up all their ads, mm-hmm. you know, anywhere they want, then, you know, they have another thing coming. You know, they can do that all they want in their house, but in our house, you know, they got to follow the rules, and that's all we ask. You know, we set the rules, we set the boundaries, and say, you know, abide by these, and if you do, you'll see value and you'll benefit, and that's what's happened. You know, we force the people who want to market in a place in a specific area under specific guidelines. And then we tell them, listen, you know, you don't have to actually market to get value,
right.
Which is the beauty of Bigger Pockets. If you come on our platform and provide value for other people, say you're a marketer with a direct mail company, we've got a bunch of these guys who are part of Bigger Pockets, and they come on, and, you know, they know the rules, these guys, and so what they do is they come in and they answer questions. They help people out.
Yep.
Hey, what do I do? What's a yellow letter? How do I write it? What should I put on it? How often should I send it? They come on and they help out. They answer those questions, and what happens, without even marketing, they don't do any kind of promotion, but as a result, they're building their business because people know them as the reputable source of somebody who's going to help other people out. They gain trust, they gain value, and all of a sudden people say, you know what, I'm thinking about starting a campaign. This guy was so amazing, went above and beyond answering all my questions. I want to give him my money. And I tell you, the marketers who get it, who provide value, are building really, really solid, strong businesses off of Bigger Pockets. The same goes for the investors.
Yep.
You know, if you're a guy in Southern California who does, you know, I don't know, you're a buy and hold guy, and you come in and you demonstrate value, you help other buy and hold guys and answer their questions and talk to them and teach them and focus on the people, maybe locally, maybe even nationally. Other people who see it are going to say, you know what, this guy knows what he's doing. This guy is a good guy. This guy's willing to be helpful. I trust him. How can I work with him? Maybe I could partner with him. Maybe I could do a money deal, private money deal with him. Whatever it is, building that trust is what it's all about. And as a result, a ton of business happens on Bigger Pockets because this community of people is all about helping each other out. And the results that come are secondary, but they're massive.
Yeah. Yeah, and you keep using the word value. Is there a word for a sort of this dynamic? It's like it's a goodwill economy, or I don't know what the word. I just don't think a lot of people appreciate how difficult it is. If you've ever read the book Groundswell, it's one of my favorite all-time marketing books. It was written in 2005 by a few authors at Forrester Research, and it's surprisingly evergreen considering technology is changing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But the most advanced sort of version of in the book was talking about engagement, and the forums are the most complicated because you're openly inviting your network to give you feedback, and you're growing the platform based on their needs and wants. And in order to do that, you have to constantly create value to keep them coming back for more. And I really honestly have not seen it done better than you. And even your moderators, I mean, I don't know if they're paid or not, but I mean, a lot of people spend a lot of time and want to help out on your side. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it is. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to the groundswell. It's people realize that the more time that they spend on the site, the more they give, the more they get. And you know, that has absolutely nothing to, well, it has a lot to do with me because of the kind of the roots, but you know, the community is very self-policing today. The community looks out for one another. I mean, you'll see guys who come in and say, hey, I've got this fabulous deal with 20% guaranteed returns and, you know, spit out all sorts of nonsense. And you'll have 20 different people, you know, kind of call them out, question their motives, not necessarily their motives, but question their numbers, question their model,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically help the guys who may not know any better to see through what could possibly be some kind of flimflam, right?
Right.
I really don't think anyone does it better. And again, this is not me. This is our community.
Right.
And so it's the folks who have kind of given into the belief that, you know, we as a community can value one another, can help each other out. And I think that mindset is, it's pretty much, I mean, listen, it's unstoppable in every part of life. And it's amazing that it's happening on Bigger Pockets. And as a result, I mean, we've got this just insanely thriving platform with, you know, 600,000 monthly unique visitors, podcast, and I mean, all this amazing stuff happening.
And I can't wait to get to that. So we are out of time for this show, but for more information on Josh Dorkin and Bigger Pockets, check out biggerpockets.com. You'll also find him on iTunes. Next week, tune in as Josh Dorkin returns again for round two.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.